Mr. Chair, we're on page 391. Appreciate the opportunity to finish out the budget presentation today. I was just moving into item regarding testing and publications in language other than English. Currently, we have tests in Spanish, Russian, Korean, Japanese, and Vietnamese. We would like some additional funding next biennium to update those tests, as well as to translate the commercial driving license manual into Spanish, and then to publish other smaller publications in languages other than English. And then finally, we would like $85,000 to do an analysis of the uninsured motorist or study the effectiveness of our current insurance statutes and determine how well our automated liability insurance reporting program is working, as well as look at other items that need to be done to enhance it. We'd like to look at some other states, see how effective if there are other programs that can enhance that. And that concludes package 203, which would restore 26 of the position of FTE, full-time equivalents, that we have cut from the budget in our current service level budget, as well as request 10 new full-time equivalents for the problem driver safety portion of our budget. And I'd like to turn back now to the final pages of our Ways and Means presentation.
I just had one question relative to the publications and testing. How do you say stop in Russian or Chinese or Vietnamese?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to provide that for you.
Senator, do you know how to say stop in Chinese, please?
In three dialects.
Can you please share that in any one of those three dialects, so that we'll have that for our new book?
We'll talk to you.
Like a private consultant.
Spoken like a true private consultant.
$150,000 per biennium.
Thank you very much, Senator Yee, for that. I think I learned all the Chinese I knew. And we were on page...
We are returning to page 101 of the Ways and Means presentation. Just to follow up on budget notes, we received four from the last during the last session. One to take a look at opening an office in Lapine, which we concluded there was a business case to provide service in Lapine, but due to our budget reductions, we were unable to expand our offices. The second one, to provide a report of where we were with our privatization initiatives, the project we're doing this biennium for the pilot project to allow dealers to issue place and stickers, an example of that. Our proposal for funding for next biennium for electronic titling would be another example, as well as the work we're doing with third parties to have drive testing schools provide not only written but behind the wheel exams, which we accept, working with third party vendors for sale of items such as snow park permits. So that budget note provided that information. We had a budget note to investigate the feasibility of barcode versus magnetic stripes when we did renew our driver license contract. Our conclusion was that the barcode was a more viable technology. We're in the process of putting together specifications to renew that contract, and we're looking at barcodes as again. And finally, the fourth budget note was to report on the transactions that were not paying for themselves, and that was, of course, resulted in the fee bill that is also going to be coming before this committee sometime in the future. Finally, on page 103, the audits that were performed were primarily change of director audits. As you can see, the last one in 2000, when I came on board, no instances of noncompliance were discovered. And that concludes DMZ's portion of the budget presentation.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I'd just like to know about the barcode identification system. Again, your response was the magnetic stripe is the more accepted, and that's the direction we're going?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry if I misspoke. It's the barcode is a more viable technology than the magnetic stripe. You can certainly put more information, and it's compatible with law enforcement, and it's the American Association of Automobile Motor Vehicle Administrators standards are moving towards barcode.
Towards the barcode.
Right, both 1D and 2D barcode.
And that's presently, the barcode which we presently have is being modified, as I understand it, so it's a uniform barcode.
We'll be looking at the latest barcode technology. That's in fact what we're exploring right now.
Let me just say this relative to that overall program, and that is this. As you continue to advance that technology, and Representative Patridge is on the e-government, but as we move that direction, the potential is, and I think Representative Smith also serves on the safety subcommittee, but as you continue that, the idea would be that, my recollection was there were like 23 states which already had it up and running, so if you could use the barcode on their current license plates, or on their current driver's license. And at that particular point, eventually, the handheld supermarket-type barcode reader, stripe reader, could be used by our police officers for under $300 a throw in a police car. And eventually, they could tell you exactly where you've been with that license since the last time it was barcode read. And so that I think it provides an additional avenue of safety for our law enforcement officers out in the field as we have that technology available to us, and they're not going back and entering onto a manual typewriter in their automobile or trying to call in a name and spell it out, Alpha Romeo, whatever, you know, however they have to do that in legalese. But the technology is moving very rapidly in that direction, and that's one of the reasons why we tried to encourage the DMV to standardize this as much as possible. Representative Patridge is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you working with any kind of outside groups, whether they be grocers or people, OLCC people or anyone else, regarding this? Because I know Representative Butler last session had a magnetic card reader system, I think, and it would certainly be nice to work with some of the constituent groups. I mean, it may be a way that we can do some ID checking, especially in the alcohol-related things, since ODOT is also involved in that from a safety standpoint. And maybe, you know, if clerks or people serving drinks verify these people are over 21 years of age, unless they're visibly intoxicated, they could escape some liability or do something like that, as long as their barcoding system was compatible with kind of industry standards. And I'm just wondering if you're including any other constituent groups in as you make these technological decisions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, that is always our process, recognizing the importance of the driver license to many of our partners as well as to industry. As we survey the other states to see what the latest technology is, we take a look at what the standards are being set by the National Association that works with motor vehicles, and then we work with our partners with outreach sessions to determine what their needs are before we move forward with any final driver license.
Seen the barcode reader that they had here at the Capitol today and Oregon Liquor Control Commission?
Mr. Chair, I did not, but I'm sure my staff is, because we were here and part of the presentation.
They had one of their handhelds here today, and they told us that for under $500, like $300, as I recall, but anyway, under $500, that can be plugged in, it can be card swiped and read the bar on a card swipe, or it can just be used as a scanner. They're using that in clubs, nightclubs, and other kinds of places where they can just, as the people come through the door, they just go ahead and get the sign of the beast or something like that right off their forehead. Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. I was just going to ask you a question as a follow-up to your statement there. I haven't heard in our presentation from the Oregon State Police, I haven't heard any comments about that. Is that something we should raise?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a safety issue. It's a strong safety issue, and the more uniform... If I could just share that, and I'm sorry to share a personal story, but I had an opportunity to go around and visit our kids while they were still in school, various parts of the nation this year. Went into a into a service station and to get some gas and took out my credit card, and the person in front of me was at the counter and bought a six pack of beer. And when they ran and they took the credit card and the driver's license, took them both, no questions asked. I mean, looked like he could have been older than me. He could have been 50. Anyway, and the fellow in front of me, and I'll be darned if she didn't have to stop and read the screen and say, Mr. Smith, you've just purchased gas within the last half hour. You're not drinking this, are you, as you're driving? And he said, no, I'm, you know, and of course his car was right in front of mine. He'd already paid for his fuel. He paid for his fuel outside when they striped it. And now what happens as he comes to buy the beer, then right there within a matter of minutes, the code's already said, this person has just had a drink, has just been in at the XYZ nightclub and has used his ID at the XYZ nightclub, and now you're buying gasoline. And the reader at the island can do the same thing out at the gasoline. And that is to say, wait a minute, within the last half hour, you've used this ID at a nightclub. Or you're not drinking and driving. Now, there's no liability that I'm aware of in that process, but it's got some, you know, within our assembly, you know, people would say, boy, that's really Big Brother going too far. But in this particular state, which is a long ways from here. in this particular state, I could see immediately the benefit of that standard identification and uniform information, because in order to buy the alcoholic beverage, they had to identify themselves. Now, how much of a record, and you talk about gun control and those kinds of things, how much of a record it created, whether that's being recorded somewhere in a great computer in the sky or just what, but at any rate, it was a real revelation to me of what technology can do if you're willing to go ahead and pay for it. So, Representative Smith.
That's interesting. I hate to follow up with a question after that. Are you folks working with the Oregon State Police when they come before the public safety ways and means, and I raise this issue? Is there a coordinated effort that we can get underway to talk about this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, if what you're asking is there an effort in place to end up with something like an electronic citation or some sort of uniform system, I am unaware of such an effort that goes from the traffic stop all the way to the courts. There are pieces that people are talking about, electronic transfer of information between the courts and various jurisdictions. We're interested in electronic transfer of information between ourselves and the courts. We have talked about this in the LEDS Advisory Committee, but I'm not, and we certainly are interested in facilitating that, but we're one piece of a long chain, and there isn't at this point an enterprise-wide approach such as the state of Iowa has to electronic citations, starting at the traffic stop and moving all the way up to the DMV. But we'd be happy to participate if there were one.
Thank you, Representative Patridge.
Just to maybe illuminate that a little bit more, we've been unscheduling the joint, I guess in the IT Ways and Means Subcommittee, we've unscheduled 15% of Oregon State Police's budget for their technology piece, 15% of the court's budget, and we'll do that with all the criminal justice information systems groups, because we asked them last time to come up with a plan for an enterprise solution so we could do this, so we could get the technology in place, and so we as Ways and Means could invest our money wisely so that we're not reduplicating systems. And they didn't get that message very well last time. So
well, we hear about
we are working on it
pieces
this time.
Of chains, pieces of chains, and unfortunately, we've got to forge a new link that draws those together, and it takes that action. With that, thank you very much,
thank
Ms. Youngs. We appreciate your testimony. We'll go ahead and...
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just want to say that I was looking at the fee schedule,
yes.
And some of them are 300%.
Oh, that's a modest increase.
Well...
You don't think we should be held liable for the sins of the last 20 years?
Well, I just feel that it may be difficult to pass. So could we ask the agency to work with... Susie. To see if there's any way we can improve efficiency and reduce the fee requested maybe by 25%.
We're gonna have a drug slogan that we're just gonna move over to our Ways and Means Committee. Just say no.
Just say no to these fee increases. I mean. Is that something that's workable?
I think Legislative Fiscal Office is taking that under advisement right now,
uh-huh.
and we will continue to work on that. And again, there's some of those. That one that you're looking at, so 300% is since 1985, since it was adjusted last. And again, you know, to have us be responsible for 15 plus years of modifications and inflation at this particular time is probably not appropriate. However, I think Legislative Fiscal Office is working on a transitional method of doing that. And if the Attorney General provides that we cannot do that out of the funds that are available to us, then we're just going to have to say cut back on those activities. That's all there is to it.
Right.
Cut back on the audits, cut back on the oversights, demand that those people applying for those things do more of the work themselves.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And those will all be taken into consideration.
Yes.
And some of that is to fund some of the other pieces of the packages, 203, I think, that we heard today. So, and we'll have an opportunity to look at that and vote on those pieces as well. So, mm-hmm. Point is well taken.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I think any program can stand some efficiency improvement. So,
maybe I could have you talk to my wife about our utility bill at home.
Well, I already proposed to reduce it by 3 cents on the telephone bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. We've got to close the public hearing.